You may be seated, and if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel and to chapter 16. As I thought about coming to the Lord's table this morning, as we've started this new fall season, we're going to be looking at our new vision statement. Our vision reads, "We pray to be a people who declare, delight in, display the glory of God through the amazing grace in Jesus Christ." And as I thought about our vision statement, as I'm going to be preaching through it, I just want us to pause on this phrase, to be a people. God has called us, has chosen us, has ordained us, has appointed us, as we've been hearing through the scriptures, to be a people unto himself. And this morning, as we come to the table of the Lord as a people of God, there is one very important concept which is foundational to our vision. And that is, before we do anything to the glory of God, that we first and foremost recognize that we are a people to the glory of God. That God has chosen us, not because we do. He has simply chosen us to be his people through the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. And so as we think about this foundational concept of what does it mean for us to be a people, you'll learn in our text that it is very easy for us as Christians to forget. In fact, I would say that we have a Christian amnesia that sets in pretty quickly after we come to faith in Christ, and we forget who we were. And finally, we begin to think of ourselves as pretty good in and of ourselves. But the essence of our vision statement is to be a people, first and foremost, to the glory of God through the amazing grace of Christ, because everything that we do must flow from the grace that is ours in Jesus and the glory that God is receiving by simply making us his people. To get the doing before the being is to be legalistic. It is a sinful disbelief of the gospel, and it is not Christian. But God, in all of his glory, desires for us to point to that glory and to that grace by first and foremost remembering who we are. So as we come to the table of the Lord, it's important for us to remember this morning. Remember and not forget who we are. So let's pray as we delve into Ezekiel chapter 16. Father, we open your word now, and we come to the God of the word, and recognizing that there is no power in preaching unless the Spirit comes in power, unless the word is preached faithfully. And so we ask that that would be done for your glory's sake this morning. Point us to Jesus. Cause us to see ourselves through you for who we were and who we now are, so that all would point to the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to be skipping through Ezekiel chapter 16, and we're just going to be reading a lot, and some of that is just going to simply allow the word of God to touch us this morning. The first thing I want us to recognize is that God has chosen us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are a chosen people. Now we just sang that, didn't we? And that kind of sounds arrogant in some ways. Well, if it's arrogant, it is a false understanding of what it means to be chosen. And that's what Ezekiel helps us to see. We often go to Ephesians when we think about being chosen, but I want us to go to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel tells us what we were like through God's eyes when God chose us and set his affections upon us. Read with me from verses 4 on, if you would. And God is describing Israel, his chosen people, and us as well. And he takes them back to their birth. And notice how he describes it. As for your birth, on the day that you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, I pitied you to do anything to you out of compassion for you. But you were cast out on the open field, and you were abhorred on the day that you were born. And Ezekiel gives us this graphic picture of the reality of the depravity of the sinful man's soul. It's like we were born and here we are, and nobody even cared for us. They simply tossed us out. The umbilical cord was not cut, and there we are lying in blood in this field. No one cared to wash. No one cared to care for us in any way. And simply, we were a despised people, rejected, thrown out to die, naked, bloodied, helpless. That's the picture we get, and then we hear the goodness and the grace of God. In this condition, God found us, and it's in that condition that he chose us. Let's read on in verse 6. And kids, all of you guys writing now, I want you to count the eyes. Because when you count the eyes, it's pointing to God. What God is saying that he did versus what we did. And that's real important. And when I passed by you and saw you wallowing in your blood, I said to you in your blood, live. And I said to you in your blood, live. I made you flourish like a plant of a field. And you grew up and you became tall and arrived at full adornment. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown, and yet you were naked and bare. And God shows us this beautiful picture of his calling and his choosing and his work in us at that moment where we could do nothing for ourselves. And he causes us to flourish in his might and in his power and in his grace. But that, if that was not enough, that Jesus simply picked us up from the field that we were in, he goes on and he tells us how he has adorned us with love. Continue to count the eyes, kids. And when I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were of age of love. And I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord God. And you became mine. Then I bathed you with water and I washed off your blood from you. I anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with embroidered cloth and shod you with the finest leather. I wrapped you in fine linen and I covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments and put bracelets on your wrist and a chain on your neck. Put a ring on your nose and earrings in your ears and beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothing was fine linen and silk and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. You grew exceedingly beautiful and advanced in royalty. And your renown went forth among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through the splendor that I bestowed on you, declares the Lord. And here's this glorious picture of this child that God chooses and draws and picks up, and then she grows to be a glorious woman, and he washes her, and then he comes into a covenant relationship. And in this picture that God is saying, we see it all throughout the scriptures, don't we? We see the glory of God spreading his covering over us. We see it throughout the scriptures where we see Boaz and Ruth comes and sits at his feet. And he wakes up in the middle of the night and he says, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm your servant, Ruth." And she says to him, "Cover me. Come over me." In that reality, Ruth is actually proposing to her. And Boaz is her kinsman redeemer. And Boaz is playing that part which God plays with Israel. And Ruth is a Moabitess. And Ruth ends up with the glory of being in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bathes us, and then he says he anoints our head with oil. We get the picture of Psalm 23, and we see the splendor and the grace and the mercy of God's goodness and his provision and his grace in our lives as well. What a beautiful picture. And that God took us from death and brought us life, loved us, he cared for us, he blessed us, he provided for us, he adorned us with beauty. And then we get a different picture of what Israel does. Verse 15, speaking to his people then and now. "But you trusted in your beauty and you played the whore because of your renown and lavished your whoring on any passerby. Your beauty became his. He took some of your garments, and you took some of your garments, and you made for yourself colorful shrines, and on them you played the whore, and like the light that was never been or never shall be. You also took your beautiful jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given you, and you made yourself images of men, and with them you played the whore. And you took your embroidered garments to cover them, and you set my oil and my incense before them, and also my bread that I gave you. And I fed you with fine flour and oil and honey, and you set before them for a pleasing aroma. And so it was, declares the Lord." And here Israel, much like God's people, take the blessings of God and they turn from God as a faithful husband and lover. And they begin to prostitute themselves to other gods, to other peoples, to other passions. And the fullness of Israel's sin continues. Read with me verse 20. "If it wasn't enough that they did all of that, and then you took your sons and your daughters, and here the sin of abortion in our country, whom you had born to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Was your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them? In all of your abomination and your whoring, you did not remember the days of your youth, when you were naked and bare and wallowing in blood. How sick is your heart, declares the Lord, because you did these things, these deeds of brazen prostitute, building your vaulted chambers and heading at the head of every street, making your lofty places in every square. Yet you were not like a prostitute because you scorned payment. Adulterous wife who received a stranger instead of her husband. Men give gifts to prostitutes, but you gave your gifts to all of your lovers, bribing them to become to you from every side with your whoring. So you were different from other women in your whoring. You solicited, you played the whore, and you gave the payment while no payment was given to you. Therefore, you are different." And all of a sudden, it seems like a distant place from that child that the Lord chose and brought up and washed and cleansed and clothed in beauty, and then that same beauty was given to another as they turned their back on God. And we see this sinful picture that God portrays of what it looks like of our heart when we walk away from the Lord, when we, the chosen people who have been blessed, we sit in our churches, though we may not at all, at some times even recognize that we are God's children because we haven't been born again, and yet we take his blessings and we turn. And we turn on the Lord and his faithfulness and his love. And what a horrible picture of sin. Isn't it interesting to see sin through the eyes of God? Well, because when we see it through our eyes, we're better than our neighbor next door to us. They're really sinners. You should hear their story. I grew up in a nice family. I'm nothing like them. But here Ezekiel gives this picture, not through the eyes of another, but through God's eyes. And God chose, and he loved, and Israel walked away. And then we see God's everlasting covenant. And hear the good news of the gospel. This is what Hosea did with Gomer. And here in Ezekiel it says this, verse 19. For thus says the Lord God, I will deal with you as you have done. You were despised. You have despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Yet I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth. And I will establish for you an everlasting covenant. And I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, that you may remember and be confounded, never to open your mouth again because of your shame, when I atone for you, for all that you have done, declares the Lord God. What a beautiful picture to begin in the helplessness of our sinful estate, dead in our transgressions and sins, when God in grace called us. And then we take that grace and we snub our noses at God and we turn in horrid sin against the living God. And then God says, I will remember. And I will make an everlasting covenant. So here we are this morning, on this side of that fulfilled covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're about to partake of the fullness of that covenant. The grace through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ given for us and through his blood. And I want to ask you the question, did you see the gospel? Did you see the cross in Ezekiel? It was there. How's the cross there? Yes, in the everlasting covenant part. But see, all that God called them, a prostitute and a whore and all of that, is on Jesus Christ, who became that reality for us, that we, once again, might be dressed not in the finery of silk and embroidered cloth or of rings and nose rings and whatever you want, but now in the glorious righteousness of Jesus Christ. Once and for all. Why? Because God said, I atone for all that you have done. In a moment, you'll hear the words of Jesus. This is the new covenant, that everlasting covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of your sin. See this passage in Ezekiel, the atonement. We see Ezekiel, the horrible, sinful, vile, evil description of sin. that the Father placed on the Son, and the Son became that we might become his righteousness. So we come this morning to the table of the Lord with that picture in mind. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That he was born of a virgin. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. That he, in frailty, took on our flesh and became nothing in accordance with Philippians chapter 2. And with Isaiah, once we were despised, and Isaiah will say, he was despised and he was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. And he would come and not only take our sin, but he would take our shame and bear it, both ours and that which has often been given to us. And just as Ezekiel says, that we were once discarded and thrown out, now the Son of God will be taken out of the city, out to the unclean place, to the place of the skull. And he will be led like a lamb to the slaughter. And there they will nail him, and they will strip him naked when we were once clothed by him. And they will mock him, and they will discard him like we were once discarded. And all of that's done so that we can be found. And our Savior will be led like a lamb to the slaughter outside of the city, to that place where the shameful live. And that's where he finds us. And Paul tells us of the atonement of Jesus, that he became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. That we who played the whore and the prostitute ourselves, we who were naked are now clothed, because he would be stripped and he would be beaten and he would be mocked. So that once again we could be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. See, brothers and sisters, we forget that's not a pretty picture of the reality of our souls before Christ. But Christ didn't say, let's clean it up, kids, and then I'll choose you. No, he chose us. He blessed us. We sinned even when common grace was ours. He did not choose because we were pretty. He chose us as bloody children. But we say, no, I chose him. I had enough sense. I had enough life. I had enough self-will and power to choose him. Well, Ezekiel gives a very different picture, doesn't he? That we really are just simply babies, minutes after birth, with our umbilical cord still stuck on us, connected, bloodied, and God chose. That's the gracious love of God that washed us and cleansed us and clothed us. And yet there might be some this morning here who say, how dare you? How dare you call me a whore? How dare you call me a prostitute? How dare you look upon me in such vile ways? And you find yourself offended. But the reality is that I really didn't offend you at all. You're offended by God, and you're offended by grace. Because you cannot see the reality of your own fullness. And yet Christ died that you might be able to see the fullness of his grace. But if you're here this morning and maybe you've played church all of your life and you're offended, I ask you not to play church today. Let the elements pass you by. Those are for the discarded. Those are for the sinners. Those are for the bloodied. Those are for the whores. And those are for the prostitutes. who recognize the fullness of grace in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe this morning you're like the woman at the well, and in that preaching you are beginning to see the fullness of all that you really are and the truth of that reality, but you're also seeing the truth of God. You're seeing the truth of his grace. You're seeing the truth of his holiness. You're seeing the truth of his love for the first time. And I invite you to come to Christ, to give your life to him, and to receive a clothing that you could never make for yourself. For you, today is the day of salvation. But Westminster Presbyterian Church, come to the table knowing that that is who we are and were once until Christ came and chose us. That all that we were has been placed on Christ, and we receive from him grace and mercy. See not only yourself through God's eyes, but see the love and grace through the cross, through the sin that God shows us, so that we can remember who we are. That we are a chosen people, chosen not because of who we are and our goodness, but chosen in a despised reality. We are a people dressed in the right.